Let us pray. Holy God, Lord Jesus Christ, we bless you and praise you that you chose, according to the Father's will, to come to us, to become one of us, to bring us all back to you. Thank you for making your home here in us. Help us now and always to dwell in you, we pray. Amen. This morning we contemplate the second of the triad of events that we associate with Epiphany, the baptism of Jesus at the hands of his cousin John in the Jordan. And I like to call this event the deep dive. In fact, it's the deepest dive of all. I know that there wasn't any competition diving going on in the Jordan that day, but if you think about it, the great God of heaven left a throne in glory, beauty, perfection, and immersed himself in our humanity, immersed himself even in our mortality. The eternal Logos immersing himself in our humanity and our mortality. Tertullian wrote that Christ was never without water. Christ was never without water. And if you think about the life of Christ, water is such an ever-present element in his life. In miracles, walking on water, turning water into wine, even at his betrayal and his trial, Pilate is washing his hands in water. Water is always present in the story of Jesus. But when Jesus went down to the River Jordan to be baptized there, what was going on in his mind, do you think? I wonder, how many of you have ever been to or read the service of the Great Vigil of Easter? A few. The Great Vigil of Easter is one of my very favorite services out of the entire Christian year because it begins in Genesis at the creation and it walks all the way through the scriptures, through the history of salvation. And water is the common element all the way through. The Spirit of God hovering over the face of the deep, the chaos there at the beginning of creation, calling it into order. The flood, when the entire earth was baptized. The Red Sea, when it parted and the entire Hebrew people were baptized as they passed through the water. The cross. We know from the apostle that we are buried with Christ in baptism. And so as Jesus began his coming out, his going public with baptism, he was literally prefiguring his own death. He began his public ministry with an image of his death, of the tomb, of the grave. I want to talk about identification for a minute. Think about Jesus being willing to identify with us to that degree that he would immerse himself in our humanity and in our mortality. Now, I had a really interesting couple of lessons in the 90s about identity. I had started a Christian music company in 1976 called Star Song. I'd lived 20 years of my life working hard, loving that, serving the Lord, making music, working with people I loved. And when our company got acquired by another company and it was time for me to close that chapter of my life, as I would make phone calls and try to do business, reach out and figure out what the next step for me to do, when I would get someone on the phone and the receptionist or the assistant or whatever would say, "Who shall I say is calling?" I was so used to saying Daryl Harris with Star Song, that had become my identity. That had become my name, not Daryl Harris. It had become Daryl Harris with Star Song. And I had to bite my tongue to keep myself from clinging to that identity and clinging to what I had been, what I was. Well, then, shortly after that, I got an opportunity to serve as chaplain to the Gospel Music Association. And I had new business cards with the GMA, and it said Darrell A. Harris, chaplain, Gospel Music Association. And I did that for 3 years. That led to other chaplaincy work, including this job, which has been one of the most greatest sources of joy in my entire life. But when I left the Gospel Music Association, I realized that I had gotten into the habit, when I would call someone on the phone and that assistant or that receptionist would say, "Who shall I say is calling?" Darrell Harris, chaplain at the Gospel Music Association. That had become my new name. I had so immersed myself in Star Song and the Christian music field, and then so immersed myself in the Gospel Music Association and beginning that chaplaincy work, I had become Darrell A. Harris with the Gospel Music Association. And I had to learn twice. It was literally like getting a couple of punches. No, I'm not Darrell A. Harris, Star Song Records. I'm not Darrell A. Harris, Gospel Music Association, chaplain, whatever. I'm Darrell A. Harris, baptized into Jesus Christ. That's who I am. How do we live in our baptism? Bob Weber, towards the end of his life, wrote the book, The Divine Embrace. And in it, he talks a lot about living in our baptism. How do we live in our... I'm not sure I'd ever heard that phrase before hearing it from him. How do we live in our baptism? How do we come to know Christ in the fellowship of his sufferings and the power of his resurrection? Well, let me tell you a little bit about how I got to know my wife, Janet. We met when she was 12 and I was 14. We were holding hands and sneaking kisses in the back seats of cars. We were too young to drive while the Beatles were singing, "I Want to Hold Your Hand" on the radio. And we dated off and on through high school years. It was a lovely time. And after we married in 69, after we'd been married 2 or 3 years, we had a conversation one day where she just startled the heck out of me. I said something to her, and I don't remember what I had said, something stupid, foolish, I'm sure. And her response was, "You don't know me very well, do you?" Good grief, I loved her. And she said, "You don't know me very well, do you?" I mean, she couldn't have startled me or hurt me more had she slapped me on the face with a wet towel. "You don't know me very well, do you?" And I realized, no, I didn't. I had never been attentive to her needs. I had never been a genuine listener to her heart. I loved her. I liked her a lot. But I really didn't know her. Now, that was 40-some years ago when that conversation happened. And I have spent those years getting to know her. And I love her so much more now because I've gotten to know her. How did Jesus get to know us? He immersed himself in our humanity. He knew us thoroughly already. He made us. He imagined us and made us. But he got to know us even better than that. He became one of us in order to bring all of us back to the Father. He immersed himself in our humanity, in our frailty, even in our mortality, making himself completely vulnerable. How do we get to know him? He told us. It's by sharing our bread and our goods with another who needs it. It's by covering the shame of the nakedness of one who has been hurt and exposed and is naked. It's by being with those who are grieving in their grief, maybe not even saying anything, holding a hand, putting an arm around, just being with. And inasmuch as we have done it to the least member of his family, we've done it to him. And that's how we get to know him. That's how we come to him and welcome him into our hearts and our lives.